All right, thank you, Scott Shannon, and thanks to all of you for being with us. Here's our toll-free number. It is 800-941-SHAWN if you want to be a part of the program. So much to get to today, not the least of which is the conversation that is emerging as the date now comes near for President Trump to get $464 million in this judgment out of New York. I find it fascinating. First, I got to start with what I think is probably the best legal strategy, which somebody gave this to me. I think it was a post on X, whoever posted this. I wish I can give you attribution. I don't know who it was. But there are a lot of people like Professor Dershowitz, Greg Jarrett, former Attorney General Matt Whitaker, basically saying that there needs to be a petition to a federal court on the issue of the Eighth Amendment, which would state, quote, excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel or unusual punishments inflicted. And the federal court would need to move swiftly and grant a stay here. That is one aspect of this. Of all people, it is billionaire, fellow billionaire like Donald Trump, Mark Cuban, that has come to Donald Trump's defense in responding to an ex post by a California congressman, hardcore left winger Ted Lieu, using a hashtag, well, Trump is broke, in a post on X about how hard now the president's lawyers have said they have tried hard to secure the $500 million, the bond sum in his civil fraud case, despite approaching more than 30 firms. This is not territory these bond companies have ever had to deal with before. So Ted Lieu says, well, he claims he's a billionaire. How is he going to pay a $464 million judgment? That means he's lying. How do I know? Math. Now, Cuban actually responds to Ted Lieu and argues, rightly so, one's net worth is completely different than whatever cash they might have on hand, he says, in the bank. He's right. Then he says to Ted Lieu, Ted, you know I'm no supporter of Trump. That's for damn sure, Cuban writes. And he goes on to say he doesn't know how anybody can vote for him, et cetera, et cetera. He said, but you're wrong on this topic, Ted. And then he noted that in a zero interest rate environment, it would have been dumb for Trump to keep his cash in a bank or a money market account. Also dumb for keeping interest rates, you know, that low for that long, which is a different argument. But what he's saying is anybody, and I don't, you know, rich people that I've met in my life aren't rich by being stupid. Most of them are pretty smart. They also have other characteristics and traits that are similar. They're all pretty much very, very hardworking. Now, you've got to go back and you've got to look at this is unprecedented. And this is maybe one of the greatest examples of weaponization, criminalization, politicizing our justice system that maybe we've ever seen in our lifetime. I mean, it all starts with the campaign of an attorney general in New York that runs on a campaign to go after one man, one family, and one organization. That campaign promise has now been fulfilled. And then, of course, you have this obscene judgment. And the case is actually a very, very simple case. There's a lot of fundamentals to this. And the argument being is that the Trump Organization gave valuations as information in applications to lending institutions and insurance companies that were false and fraudulent. Okay, on the surface, that sounds like a bad thing. However, there is context and there is texture and there are facts that actually shed a lot of light on that issue. And that is that, well, first of all, no financial institution or insurance company is going to lend hundreds of millions of dollars to anybody without doing their own evaluations. And that would be their fiduciary responsibility, or insure hundreds of millions of dollars in a property without doing their own valuations, because they have a responsibility to their shareholders, their company. You're not going to count on a lendee, somebody that's borrowing the money. And, well, I think this, I think my home's worth $50 million. Sure, you can think whatever you want to think about your home, but if you can only sell it for $2 million, guess what? It's worth $2 million, not 50. But it's regardless of this. And here's the when you look at the facts of the case, you see the great injustice here. And I want to remind everybody, whether you're a liberal or conservative, a Democrat or Republican, understand this. If this can happen to Donald Trump, this can happen to anybody. And this should get to the heart of where we are. Now let's get to the other facts of the case. What do we know about this case? We know that in the applications and the contracts that there was a very there are very specific disclaimers that were put out by the Trump organization telling the insurance companies, telling the lenders, do not count on our valuations. And even and that is a big part of this. That would then put the responsibility where it belongs on lending institutions, on banks, on insurance companies to do their own due diligence that they have a fiduciary responsibility to do. Here's fact number two, is that there's nobody from any lending institution, nobody from any insurance company that is a plaintiff here or that feels aggrieved in the process of doing business with the Trump organization. In other words, there's nobody claiming to even be harmed in any way. As a matter of fact, according to the records put forth in the court, everybody was paid back the interest rates that they asked for, the premiums that insurance companies asked for, and nobody's complaining. So this was a civil case brought, you know, by people that had a personal agenda against Donald Trump, and yet we don't even have an aggrieved party in this case. Then you have the disclaimer that kicks in. Okay, well, if you have the disclaimer and they didn't abide by the disclaimer and they did use the Trump valuations that turned out maybe to be wrong, well, that would maybe be a little problematic, but frankly, it'd be problematic for the people that lent the money or insured the properties because they were told to do otherwise. And that was very clear. So you don't have an aggrieved party. You don't have anybody complaining, even at a Deutsche Bank executive, one of the banks that the Trump organization borrowed money from, actually say that, no, valuations we know are subjective. It's the bank's decision to determine whether collateral or money that they're going to be lending is a risk worth taking for their bank in this case or their insurance company in another case. But the bottom line is it doesn't happen any other way. All right. So Mark Cuban is correct. No billionaire is going to have $500 million laying around. No bond company has ever had to deal with this type of judgment before. And there's no aggrieved party. There's a disclaimer that should completely legally inoculate the Trump organization from even the mere allegation that they have in this case. And then you've got this whole other issue. If this case, which supposedly is all about valuations, then we have to focus in now on the process and the litigation that took place and the judge that presided over the case, because he made a determination that in spite of all of the evidence that was sent to him from outside parties, that his valuation at Mar-a-Lago, for example, in Palm Beach is as low as $18 million is beyond laughable. And we have shown you on TV, and I know these numbers are insane. They just are insane. The idea that if you wanted an oceanfront lot in Palm Beach, recently there was one for sale. I don't know if it's sold or not. I don't stay on top of looking at $200 million properties very often, but if that lot is still for sale, it was 2 acres of dirt on the ocean in Palm Beach, Florida. Asking price, $200 million. There's another property, a lot, again, dirt, 1.5 acres on a very busy trafficked corner lot that had a road, a very busy road in front of the property as a barrier between the property and the ocean. Not exactly the most attractive property from my perspective, and I love real estate, but it was, I believe, on the intercoastal side. Okay, well, okay, they were asking, last I checked, when we put it on TV, they were asking $150 million for that property. Wow. And the judge says Mar-a-Lago, which is, I believe, 22 acres total, that is not only on the ocean with a beach club, but also on the intercoastal, that has that is in pristine condition. I've been there interviewing Trump. I've seen it myself. It is beyond over the top in terms of it's like a majestic building. It is a historic property in Palm Beach. And it also has two clubs associated with it. As I said, a historic property. I mean, it also has adjacent buildings built on the property, cottages, if you will, and some 50 some odd bedrooms and 40 some odd bathrooms associated with it, two clubs associated with it. But let's just take the mere acreage itself. If a 2-acre lot on the ocean is selling for $200 million and you got 22 acres that is Mar-a-Lago of prime beachfront and intercoastal front property, and you've got a building of that magnitude on it, I mean, the estimates, the people that I've talked to are giving me, it's way closer to $1 billion than $18 million. So in other words, you have a case where the judge, who obviously is predisposed to hating Donald Trump, is far more guilty of using a phony valuation than that the Trump organization or Donald Trump himself is even being accused of. That gets to the heart of the case. Now, you have clearly a lot of effort has gone into this on behalf of the president to acquire the bond that is necessary. And even though they've contacted 30 companies, they've not been able to secure a bond because they've never seen a judgment like this before. And here's where I think Jonathan Turley nails it, that this is, you know, mob rule here. Because the judge is saying, no, pay the $500 million that I have adjudicated here before you can even get to the next level, which would be at that point an appeal. And I got to imagine any fair judge, if you can get a fair judge in New York, that's questionable, would then reduce the massive size of the penalty, if not overturn the entire judgment in this case. Now, do I think this is good business for the state of New York that in many ways is collapsing of its own weight and leftism, wokeism, liberalism? No, I think it actually is going to take people like Kevin O'Leary and push him and his investments out of New York. It's probably why people, billionaires like Ken Griffin, has moved to Florida. It's probably why people like Larry Ellison, I think I read recently, has left California, and why these other Wall Street firms are following suit every single day. They are getting out of these jurisdictions that have burdensome regulation, massively high taxes, and they've had it. Now, the media is giddy because they just hate all things Trump. He's broke. He's not broke. It's just that no billionaire in their right mind would ever have a $500 million laying around. Now, that then in 30 days presents a dilemma. What, you sell your properties at a fire sale? Well, that would be an unfair penalty if you could even get the sale done in 30 days anyway, which probably would be impossible considering the size and the magnitude of sale we're talking about here. I mean, it's a big building. So they put them in a box in the hopes that, I guess, they're going to take over these properties. This is not the United States of America. This is not justice in America. You want to know what a weaponized justice system is? You want to know what a politicized justice system is or a dual justice system is? This is it. Look at it closely. Because if it can happen to Donald Trump, all of you on the left that might be a little giddy over this, you might be next. Pay close attention. This is not a constitutional republic if this is allowed to stand. 800-941-SEAN, if you want to be a part of the program. Look, these are tough economic times. We all know that. Our friends at Pure Talk, they offer the same service as AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, and that means the same cell towers, the same 5G network, and the average family for the same service. They're saving close to $1,000 a year. Now, here's the best part. If you haven't joined the stampede, hundreds of thousands of us to make the switch, which is simple, fast, and easy, right now is even a better time to make the switch because today you can get a free Samsung 5G smartphone and there's no four-line requirement. There's no activation fee. You get a Samsung that's built to last with a rugged screen, a quick-charging battery, and top-tier data security. and qualifying plans start at only $35 a month. You get unlimited talk and text and 15 gigs of data, and you get mobile hotspot. Now, Pure Talk will connect you to the best 5G network, the same exact one, the same cell towers as the big carriers. Just dial pound 250, say the keyword save now, and claim your free brand new Samsung 5G smartphone. Pound 250, keyword save now from Pure Talk.